This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Yeah, thank you for American and Derek for this privilege and trusting me for today and actually share what God has laid in my heart. It's been such a long journey, you know. But before we go forward, before we go through it, I would like us to bow our head and pray for the word of God. Yeah, Father God, we just want to give you praise and glory, Lord. Thank you for this morning, Lord, that we can just come before you and share, Lord, your word, Father God. Not my word, but your word, Lord. Lord, it is for your glory, Lord, for your kingdom, Father God. And Father, we just stand and take authority, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Father, against anything, Lord, that is not of you in this place, Lord. In Jesus' name, Father God, thank you for your blood, Lord. Yeah, thank you, Lord, that we've overcome, Lord, by the blood of the Lamb, Lord, and the word of our testimony, Lord. Holy Spirit, you just come and take over. You're always present, Holy Spirit, and you are present even right now. Just touch our heart, Holy Spirit. Just show us the way. Lead us, Holy Spirit. Lead us to the heart of the Father, Lord. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, it was such a surprise when actually American asked me to share this, to share a message. And how amazing it was, because when he first asked me to share this message, he didn't have a date yet. When we met and we were just talking about the whole thing, and then in that moment, she just felt like the Holy Spirit was telling her that I should preach on the 12th of May, which is my birthday. And yeah. So the message today, it's actually also a part of my journey. You know, it's actually something that I've also lived, and through many challenges and through many tough times, through many hardship, but thank God, because we are not alone. You know, Jesus and the power of his Spirit in us always keep us and lead us. So my message today is going to be on holiness. But it's more serving the holy God. You know, we have been all called by God to serve him in different ways. It's not that everyone is called to be a pastor or an evangelist, but God has called us so that we can serve him. Everyone has a mandate from God. As a child of God, everywhere we are, we need to display his light. We need to display God's love. We need to display everything that God has put in us through Jesus Christ. You know? So before I start the message, I would just like to share a few things just to bring us all together, to have an idea. So when I'm talking about serving God, even at the workplace, because so easily we get taken away by other people instead of us influence people everywhere we go as Christian. It's not part of the Bible verse, but it just come in my mind. You know, it's so amazing when Jesus said that no one lights a lamp to put it under the table. You know, but when we light a lamp, we put it on the table or on the driveway so that everyone may see. So if we are children of God, the Bible says that we are the light of the world and we are the salt of the world. Now, we all know that when you put salt in the food, it's to give taste. So the word of our mouth everywhere we go should always, at any time, give glory to Jesus. Okay. So now let's go through it. serving the holy God. God is holy. He's so holy and so big that to serve him, we serve him according to his way. We cannot serve God according to our own way. God has his proper way that he would like us to serve him. When we look at the word holy, excuse me, my nose is running a little bit. When we look at the word holy, in Hebrew and Greek, that word has the same meaning. In Hebrew, it's the word kodesh. In Greek, is the word agios. But that word means apartness, to be set apart. It's like to belong to set apart from, for. You know. So God has taken us out of everything and set us apart for his purpose, to serve him. When we look at the example, we're going to take one example in the Old Testament about Noah. Thank you very much. About Noah. I worked last night in the cold, so just was a little bit, yeah. Noah, the Bible says that it was Noah found favor in the eyes of God, that Noah was chosen by God. Because there was so much sin in the world, everything was so broken. People were living their own ways, thinking their own thing. The Bible says that they've lost all sensitivity. They've given themselves to pleasure. They've loved pleasure more than God. So God being holy, in his throne in heaven, he couldn't handle it anymore. To see that people that he created to serve him actually started to follow other things than him. And God decided that he's going to destroy the world. But God being gracious, as God is always loving, he said, I'm going to make a way. But unfortunately, when God looked out on earth, he only saw few people who were like righteous in his eyes. And that man was Noah and his family. So God says, okay, it's fine. I'm going to destroy this world. But since you have found favor in my eyes, I have a plan for you. I'm going to save you, you and your family. But before we go through Noah, let's just read Leviticus chapter 20, verse 7 to 8. The Bible says, consecrate yourself and be holy, because I am the Lord your God. Keep my decrees and follow them. I am the Lord who makes you holy. God is the one who makes us holy. But what I love about the scripture, it says, I am the Lord, your God. I am your Lord. I'm the one who rules over your life. I'm the one who tells you what to do. I'm the one who shows you the way to go. I'm above you. I'm everything for you. I am your Lord. I am your king. So if he's our king, which means there is a government. If there's a government, there's a constitution. If there's a constitution, as citizen, we need to abide in those laws. I am the Lord your God. And then he says, keep my decrees and follow them. He didn't say, follow your ways or follow your thoughts or follow your heart. He said, keep my decrees and follow them. And then he repeats again, I am the Lord who makes you holy. So we can all see that holiness is something that we cannot build on our own. We cannot choose how to be holy. The only way we can be holy is through God's decrees or precepts or principles. Everything that he tells us in his word. Because the word of God is the only way that we know what God wants from us. It's the only way that we know how we should be holy, how we should conduct ourselves, how we should walk, how we should even talk to people. Because more often when we talk about holiness, people straight go and see things like sexual immorality, I need to flee from that and be holy, which is one of them. It's good. But even our word as well can actually make us impure. So holiness is God's nature. God is pure. God is light. In him, the Bible says, there is no change, no shifting of shadow. Now, when we go to Genesis now, as we say that holiness is not something that we can build on our own, now let's see that plan that God has for Noah. Genesis 6, 15, 17. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Now that's God's plan. In God's plan, we also have a part, a role to play. It's like we partner with God. But our role is only to be obedient. Because that's God's plan. Noah didn't build anything. The Bible says this is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits. Even the size, how wide, how high, it's God who decided. Make a roof for it, leaving below the roof and opening one cubit high hole around. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and up, everything. What Noah had to do was just to listen, to take instruction, and to build according to what God told him to do. If Noah could just do something according to his own thinking, maybe because, I don't know, he was living where there were trees, if he could just say, no, I know which one is the better wood, he was going to miss the whole plan of God. I am going to bring flood waters on the earth to destroy all life under the heaven, every creature that has breath of life in it. Everything on earth will perish. Now God wants to destroy and exterminate everything that was not his. Every filthy thought that people developed. Every bad way of thinking. Love of pleasures than God. Everyone going, doing their own thing instead of following God. God says, nope, there will be a judgment. If you don't do it my way, that hawk, you won't be part of it. But because Noah was righteous and Noah found favor in front of God, God has a plan for him. And the Bible says, when you look further in Genesis 22, I think I didn't give you that part. The Bible says, if you read Genesis 6, 22, says that Noah did everything just as God commanded him. And we all know the end of the story. The Bible says when there was flood, the ark was floating on water. But the Bible says Noah did everything just as God commanded him. We can take those examples with so many people in the Old Testament. God's holiness goes hand in hand with his glory, because we cannot talk about God's holiness without his glory. Because someone who is holy, who walk according to God's precept, surely will see the glory of God. Because that's the plan of God. Because when we have that glory in us, it has to be out there so that the world will see it and be attracted to God. Because we are all called to serve him so that we can speak about the good news. We can speak about God's plan for each and everyone. I was waking last night because I always stand at the door. There's one lady who passes us every night. She will leave and then she'll come back. And then last night, she decided to come. And we just started having a chat and we're just talking and all that. Sorry, I'm not judging. It's just the place that I work. So she comes drunk every day. I'm not judging anyone who drinks. I'm just telling a story. Because we all have past, we all have things, but we're still working in that. You know, perfection, it's something that we work on it daily, and God is the one who qualifies us. Now, that's really actually strike me because I realize how much we miss the opportunity to share Jesus with people. Probably because we don't really spend time with the Word, probably. Or maybe because of fear. Or maybe because of ignorance, because we don't know what to tell people. We started talking. And then she asked me, "Are you married?" I said, "Yes, I am married." "Do you have kids?" I said, "Yes." "Can you show me the picture?" "Show her the pictures." "Can you show me your wife?" "Show her my wife." But sorry, she was not for me. We were just talking. And then I asked her, "Are you married?" She said, no, don't talk to me about marriage." I said, "Why?" "No, I'm divorced here. It's a long time ago." And I was like, "Okay." And then she looked at her, "Are you Christian?" I said, "Yes, I am Christian." I was like, "Oh, right now I'm so angry with God." I said, "Why?" She actually avoided to tell me anything. To cut the story short, I started talking to her about God. I said, "Where you are, I've been there too. The whole time that I was very angry with God because I wanted to do things. Everything that I wanted to do was not working. And I started to get frustrated, though I was Christian. And then, all of a sudden, I felt in my heart. I just looked at her and said, "But you know that you running that now, I know it's not your fault. God is not mad at you in everything. But let me tell you one thing. God's going to use your brokenness. You say you hate God, but God will use you so much that you will be telling other people about God's love." She started crying. And then she looked at me, she was like, "From now on, I always pass you, but the way I have esteem for you, it's higher than before." I was like, "Okay, glory to Jesus." Because it was only the word of Jesus, the word of God that actually opened up her heart. And then when I sat in the corner, I actually started repenting. I was like, "God, indeed you've really called us to serve you. It doesn't matter where we are. Serving God is not only in church. You know, we can be here playing this instrument, but our heart is not with God. I can come here, do setups, make sure that I'm always here every day or every Sunday. But if my heart is not with God, my service is just nothing. It represents nothing to God. That's why God gives us his word. That's why God wants us in his presence each and every single day. So that we can learn from him. So that he can tell us exactly which way to go. Because out there really, there are people who are broken. So now I can imagine Noah. The Bible says he built this ark for 54 years, I think. So he was busy preaching that the flood will come. No one came. He was obedient. That takes faith. But God's still gracious. God's still patient. God's still taking long to come because, as the word says, the children of God still need to display God's glory. People still need to see and come to God. Let's take an example of Moses. If we read Exodus 36, 1, 2. The Bible says, so Bezalel, Oholiab, and every skilled person to whom the Lord has given skill and ability to know how to carry out all the work of constructing the sanctuary, how to do the work just as the Lord has commanded them. We see it coming back again. Now this time, God is looking for a way to come more closer to people. He said, now probably build me a place that I'll come and dwell, just to be close with you, so that you and I can have that moment, that experience. But here again, the Bible says, God is the one who gives skill to people to build the ark of meeting. Then Moses summoned Bezalel and Oholiab and every skilled person to whom the Lord had given ability. God is repeating it. He's not repeating it for nothing. It's for us to see. Every skilled person to whom the Lord had given ability and who was willing to come and to do the work. God is ready to help us, to give us the ability to serve Him, to work in holiness. But we need that willingness. We need to be in His presence every day. We need to enjoy that presence. We need always willing to come to His presence so that God can give us ability to do His work. Now, we're still talking about the Old Testament. We're just going gradually to see how God started to be with His people, because that ark was a holy place as well, where God was dwelling. But since that place was holy, no one could build it according to his own idea. God has to build it. Because God is alone who builds His dwelling place. A human being cannot build a place for God to dwell because God is holy. We need to build it according to His holiness so that holy as He is, He can come and dwell in His holy place. Yet again, all we need is obedience as partner with God. But our part or our role is still to obey God and to just do it exactly. But there, it's so amazing. God even gives skills to people. There was no engineering school in that moment, in that time. You know, there was no proper school for people like Derek, you know, in that time. But God says He has given the ability. And when we read further, we realize that they just build it according to God, what God has commanded them. And let's go again to Exodus 40, 34, 38. He placed the basin between the tent of meeting and the altar. He put water in it for washing. And Moses and Aaron and his son used it to wash their hands and feet. They wash whenever they enter the tent of meeting or approach the altar, as the Lord commanded them, commanded Moses. Even the way they approach God, every ceremony that they used to do, how you can come closer, how do you pass that corner, God told them exactly, gave them proper instruction. Then Moses set up the courtyard around the tabernacle and altar and put up the curtain at the entrance to the courtyard. And Moses finished the work. Now, when you read further again, the Bible says, when Moses did everything as God has commanded him, when he finished the work, the Bible says the glory of God filled that ark. We're going to use a lot of Bible verse so that we can just see exactly how God was working with people. Let's read 1 Kings 6, 11, 12. You know, when God calls us to serve Him, He's the one who established everything. The word of the Lord came to Solomon. As for this temple you are building, if you follow my decrees, observe my laws, and keep all my commands and obey them, I will fulfill through you the promise I gave to David, your father. Now let's read 2 Chronicles 7:1. When Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. We started with Noah. We came down with Moses. Now it's Solomon. Still, to build a temple, still he had to receive instruction to God from God on how to build the temple. And the Bible says he did it exactly as God commanded him, and his glory filled. But now things are changing. Now we're seeing sacrifices. Now we're seeing burnt offerings and sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord fill the temple. Now, if we are to get practical now in our days, now we're done with Moses. We're done with Noah. Now it's about us. We saw how God walked with His people in His Old Testament. You know, if I have just to go back about Moses, there's something amazing. When you're reading Exodus, the Bible says, I'm just explaining, that God took them out of Egypt. The Bible says, set my people free so that they can go and serve me. And the Bible says in Exodus still that they found favor in the house of each and every Egyptian. They gave them a piece of silver and gold. They didn't come out empty-handed. God provided silver. But God says, set my people free so that they can go and serve me. Reaching the desert, to just show that Israelites, they were not renewed yet in their mind. Soon as Moses left them just for a few days, they took the very same piece of gold that God gave them, and they built a calf to worship. That's what happens to our life sometimes. We pray for things. God takes long. We pray for certain career. That's why I said it was part of me. My wife saw my weakness. He knows. I got time where I was crying. I go to a welding job. I studied welding. I go, finish everything. I went, passed the test, welding test. I started working. Nothing was working. After 2 days, I got fired. I came home, I called Tabitha, I said, Tabitha, I got fired. You get a job, you're so happy, you're like, wow, I'm going to tell my kids, you know. Now I get a job. After 2 days, I got fired. I was like, I feel so stupid. What am I going to tell my wife? What am I going to tell my kids? I've already spread my news. I've already told my kids and that I found a job. After 2 days, I came home, I said, God, you know what? You're joking. That's exactly what I was doing. Say, God, you find. You know who you are? I see now, God, you are a type of person. You make things difficult so that I can fail and you take your glory. Thank you. I failed. Take your glory. But if I can be honest about plans behind my mind, if that job was fulfilled, you're all going to run away probably. I'm just being honest because it's good to talk about those things when God has set you free. Because the Bible says we should expose those things in the light. Because more we keep stuff that we think is shameful, that's the trick of the enemy. You will keep it, you will never disclose it, and you'll still be in bondage. That hardship was bringing holiness in me. We're still building it. I'm not there yet. But that's what he was doing. How come you saw every miracle that God did in Egypt? 10 plagues. Water become blood. Red Sea open up. But few days that Moses went away, they used the very same gold to build a calf and worship that calf and forgot all the miracles that God did in Egypt. That's human being. This is who we are. It's not for nothing that God told Joshua. No, Moses is no more. He's gone. Moses was just a human like you. All the victory, all the miracles and signs and wonders that you saw Moses did, it was because Moses kept my word. And now to you two, I'm going to give you the very same instruction. Joshua, if you want to be successful, may this word of the Lord depart not from your lips. Meditate on it day and night. And you will be successful in all your ways. All your ways. In your marriage, in your career, in your ministry, in everything. As soon as we start to get distracted, as soon as we take our eyes off God's word, finish. That's why the Bible says humans are like grass. You know? So amazing. But thank you, God, that is always gracious and God always has a plan for us. But we have a role to play, and that role is to remain obedient to God. If we need to remain holy, if we need to still work in that great plan that God has for each and every one of us, our role is to be obedient to His word. Now, since we have been justified by the blood of God, by the blood of Jesus, we have been made holy, not by work, but by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says it's done. The cross has done it all. Right now, I'm righteous. You're righteous. You're righteous in Christ Jesus. Because you didn't do it. Jesus did it for us. So now that you're righteous, are we going to stop being obedient to God because Jesus has done it all? Or are we still going to keep up with the word so that we can remain holy? Because the Bible says, as we saw in Leviticus, is holy, so we should be holy. So since we can still not build our own holiness, let's see now, during this beautiful time that we say, time of grace, what the word of God says about us being saved, being washed by the blood of Jesus, by His grace. The Bible says that He became sin so that we can become righteousness. Through Him we can become righteousness. But we still have a role to play. We still need to be holy. We still need to keep up with His word. The devil doesn't rest. Unfortunately, we cannot choose our battle. That's the sad story, yes, but that's what it is. The devil doesn't care. Keeping with holiness is still going to fight you, though we have victory in Christ. And if you don't keep up with holiness, it's still going to fight you. There's an old singer at home in Congo. He sang and he said something. He said, if you don't find adversary in your way, probably you're already working with the devil. You know? But the Bible tells us that we are God's temple. The very same temple that we saw God building in the beginning. He was building it Himself. Giving people instruction. People will just listen to God and come build according to God. So now we are that temple. We ourselves, everything that we saw in the Old Testament that we're busy building, now we are that temple. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit dwells in us. So God dwells in us by His Spirit. So we are God's dwelling place. So can you imagine if God has to give all those instructions in order for Him to live in those temples? What about us now as humans? Now that we are God's temple, Now that we have that holy God in us. Let's look at John 3:5-6. Jesus answered, that was a conversation with Jesus and Nicodemus. He came by night. During the day, they make noise. They're righteous during the day. They walk in the temple, saw Jesus, the show off. But he comes in secret now. He has Jesus. So many questions. Now, Jesus was answering. Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. Now here Jesus is telling us, okay, it's fine. Being Christian is all about supernatural stuff. There's nothing physical. It's all supernatural. By the time a person is born, he has no past, isn't it? Now, because we have a lot of past, we have too much in our lives that we've done. Jesus said, okay, it's fine, I'm going to help you to keep up with holiness. But before, you need to be born again. You need to receive Christ, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior. You need to be done with your past. You need to become a new creation. The Bible says, born of God, not of a human will. Or a will of a husband, or a friend. No. Now, once we receive Christ, we are a new creation. Save in our spirit, not in our soul and body. So we still need to keep up with holiness. This is another beautiful Bible verse, Hebrews 10:10. The Bible saying, by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. It's beautiful. But the Bible says, through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ. So remember, Jesus came to show us the way. The way to heaven, the way to the Father. But Jesus also left us with a lot of commandments. Jesus said, the one who loves me will keep my commandment. So when we look at it, grace is so amazing because we don't have to do anything. But now we need to keep up for who we already are. Now, if we don't read the Bible, we will never know who we are in Christ. That's why the devil plays with so many of us Christians sometimes. We're all Christian, but we don't read the Word. And we don't know who we are in Christ Jesus. Busy praying for stuff that we already are. Busy asking for stuff that we already have. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and the rest will be given to you. But no, most of the time we do the contrary. We're busy always following stuff. And Jesus also says the kingdom is also going away. But if we only will just seek the kingdom, the Bible said the rest will be added to you. We're still talking about holiness. Now we're getting serious now. Oh, yes, I was still serious. Matthew 7:24-25. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and put them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the stream rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Still, we can do nothing without Jesus. And we cannot build our own holiness still. We cannot be righteous on our own eyes. There's nothing that we can do to be holy except through Jesus Christ. But now that same Jesus is telling us, if everyone who hears these words of mine and put them into practice. Now, what is that practice? The Bible tells you, I'm not judging. It's for all of us. Do not lie. Because when we're talking about holiness, we only see sexual immorality as the biggest sin to deal with in order to be holy. But easily we deal with things like lies, drunkenness. We have to start to talk about things seriously because I'm actually hating what the society is leading us to. Every time you tell someone the truth, you're being judgmental. It is a type of force that the enemy is using so that we cannot tell people the truth. If you tell someone, stop stealing because it's wrong, or do you think you're perfect? No one is perfect. But when you read the Bible somewhere says, I think in Colossians, the one who was stealing, let him stop stealing. It might work so that he can have something so that he can also help those in need. It's still holiness. Pray for those who persecute you. No. You stay angry all the time. I stay angry all the time. It's also part of one thing to keep up with holiness, forgiveness. Love those who hate you. No. We like to pay revenge. But not knowing, it's still the devil's trick. Sexual immorality can be part of it. But sexual immorality is not the only thing that when you stop, then you become holy. No. The Bible says God lies, and God hates the mouth or the tongue that lies, that tells lies. It's so easy, even in the workplace, we go to work late and we always find reason. But we don't know that we're lying. No, sorry, the bus was late. No, sorry, my car had a flat tire, but it didn't. We were just late. It's lying. Those type of habits, it becomes small, and we keep up with them and still keeping us away from God. Yeah. And then when we pray, we so much want God to do stuff in our life, but we don't know that holiness, we need to get rid of stuff. So that we can put on new stuff. That's what the Bible is telling us. The Bible says when you sin, when you get angry, do not let the sun go down your head. It's holiness as well. When you get angry, or when I get angry, probably I can't even talk to Tabile for the whole night, and I go to sleep angry. Or maybe I take 3 days, because I say I want to show her that I'm a man. Not knowing that I'm sinning. I'm going against what God is telling us. Because the Bible says we shouldn't give the enemy a footstool. So sometimes we don't know that we're the one who invite the devil in our life. And when things go wrong, we start to blame people. But may God give us that grace. Grace is already here. But we should just humble ourselves and seek God every day through His Word so that we can keep up with holiness, so that we can know exactly what the enemy is planning against our lives. Because, you know, there's only one thing the enemy fights in our lives. He fights that we should not bear fruit. He doesn't care if we come to church. He doesn't care if we sing, if we jump, if we speak in tongues, if we prophesy. Jesus saw a tree. He was hungry. He wanted to eat. There was no fruit. He cursed the tree because there was no fruit. If we cannot bear fruit, then the Bible tells us what the Father does. By his love, he trims them, still believing in you that you will bear fruit. But what Jesus says, if a tree doesn't bear fruit, they shall cut it and throw it in fire. Judgment day is still coming. Noah had it. They had in the desert with Israel people after Egypt. Some of them didn't believe. They didn't make it to the promised land. In Hebrew, the Bible says that promise still stands. And as we're talking about holiness and we cannot talk, you know, that's what I say God is so gracious. God is so loving. He realized that we're so weak. God said, okay, it's fine. I'm going to give you a helper. So I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. He's going to help you. But still, I remember making prayer, telling the Holy Spirit what I would like him to do for me. Holy Spirit, give me this type of anointing. Holy Spirit, it's good to desire a gift. It's not wrong. Because even the Bible tells we should desire the gift of prophecy. It's fine. But you know, sometime we should just leave, not even sometime, all the time we should just leave the Holy Spirit to do his work. You know. Because even Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, had to be led in the desert. Even John the Baptist, by the Holy Spirit, had to be led in the desert. The Holy Spirit is the only one who will help us to walk in holiness and to know the heart of God. Because the Bible says, who is the man who knows the things of the man? Unless it's the Spirit. Same with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God knows the mind of God. So, but we should have that communion with the Holy Spirit. So it's through a relationship. The Bible says those who are led by the Spirit are children of God. So how are we led by the Spirit? The Word of God. The Spirit. We so much want to hear the Holy Spirit, but we put the Bible on the side. While the Bible says that my people die because of lack of knowledge, because of ignorance. So when they're talking about ignorance, is when there's no word. That's ignorance that we hear. We start to have knowledge only when we put words. And when the words comes in our life, then the Holy Spirit starts to operate. Romans 12, 1, 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. We are talking about worship. We're talking about singing. We're talking about preaching. It's good, all that. But the Bible tells us that till we give our body, till we offer our body, the Holy Spirit will never come and take us by force and say, hey, Carlo, you're a sacrifice. Go. No. Till we offer. We offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. The Bible says, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And then verse 2, it goes and says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. It's good, pleasing. And perfect will. We cannot know God's will if we don't renew our mind. The only way we renew our mind is through the Word of God. We need to get rid of stuff. So much information that we've heard. I was reading something one day on the internet. Some quote in America that is so popular. And they think that is the Bible. It's the Bible verses. And I was growing up thinking that it was the Bible verse as well. That God helps those who help themselves. Media. Easily we expose ourselves to stuff that is so difficult to expose ourselves to the Word of God. Benny Hinn once said, I was watching something, it was a 5-minute thing, he said, he was called to preach. So he's going to spend his time learning about God, God stuff, about the kingdom. You see, I cannot sit, watch soccer, it's fine. Cristiano Ronaldo, it's his gift. You know, it is God called him to be a soccer player. So what I'm just begging us to do, each and every one of us, I speak with my wife about this every day. We were praying the other day when Pastor Gunter came. When he said, pray, let the Holy Spirit show us what is it that we haven't given to him. I thought I was so holy. As I prayed, the Holy Spirit said to me, Carlo, you haven't given me your time. I'm standing here talking about time, but myself, I haven't given the Holy Spirit the time that he needs. That easily we get distracted by things. I'm good at this. Believe me, I can't be patient in God's presence. Now I started to realize that some other stuff in my life was not, it was still getting hard and harder. Because God was just trying to take my eyes off chasing stuff. If the Holy Spirit could give someone the ability to build something, why are we always chasing stuff instead of having that communion with the Holy Spirit? If they say, Carlo, you get a new job, I'll pay you 50 grand. But you need to be awake at 4 o'clock every morning. Believe me, I'll be awake at 3. And I'll be at that wake at 4 o'clock. I did it with Virgin Active. I was bouncing. I finished work at 4 o'clock. I had my bag with my uniform. I was a fitness instructor, Virgin Active. After bouncing, I'll put my uniform at 5. At half past 4, I'll be at the club. I had a first class to teach at 5 o'clock in the morning. I did it for 3 years. You know why? Because they were paying me money. So it was very important. But we don't see that importance in the Holy Spirit. While he has everything. The Bible says everything that we need is in Christ. And who is Christ? It's the anointing. Where's the anointing? In us. But we seek things outside while we have the solution in us. There is nothing that the Holy Spirit cannot answer. So if we're going to keep up with God that way, God being faithful, believe me, those things will follow us. Those things will surely follow us. God does not lie. I've seen it in my life. When I focus with God, things start to open up. As soon as I start to enjoy those stuff and start to go away, I always tell my wife, it's my witness. I see all those things closing up one by one on my eyes, like each and every one. Those that were being opening start closing. And I'll come back and say, Tabitha, you know, this is strange. But I read it every day, the Bible says, seek first the kingdom. Now he's telling us that there is a way. If you want to learn about how to, this is how you should do it. Just the same way he built all those ark to save people. Just the same way he built the temple so that his glory can dwell. He's telling us the very same thing. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We need to keep it holy. But how do we keep it holy? When we start reading this, meditating in this book, God reveals us. He's not calling us to be conformed to the way of the world. To conform is like taking information. You see things, you learn the way outside stuff, and you're putting it in you. But he's saying us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind through the word of God. Then we will be able. We spend more of our time asking God about his will. God, what do you want to do in my life? God, what do you want me to do? God, what? Too many questions. When I'm saying that, I always see myself. That's what I do. Till by the grace of God, he started showing me that there are stuff in your color that I still need to get rid of. Those things that you're asking me, you're not ready. You are not ready. Be transformed first by the renewing of your mind. Before I use you the way I want to use you. Because I follow God when things are not happening. As a God, you always take long. Bye. I go my way. But when I go my ways, it's not good. It's not good. It's not good out there. It's nothing. It's nothing, nothing, nothing. That's what the Bible says. We should live by faith, not by sight. And that faith is coming where? From hearing, from the word of God. So everything that God builds is coming from himself. It's nowhere else. It's in him. The word of God, what is the word of God? It's Jesus himself. The word become flesh. Jesus told us, unless we die to ourselves, we cannot bear fruit. So we are seeds. We need to be that offering, that sacrifice. And that is exactly that what we're talking about. If we keep our lives, we'll lose it. But if we lose it for the sake of Christ, we will gain it. We will find that life. That is in Christ, not outside of Christ. That is in Jesus himself. Being problem, being people's face, then you start to realize that no one cares about you. Then God. That's why in order this church to be exactly what God wants us to be, if we're all going to stick our eyes to him, as we're getting transformed. You know, I heard this thing in my mind that we shouldn't be afraid of the number that we have. We can be 500 here, but if the foundation is not Jesus, then the members is nothing. Yeah. Rather to have who we are, what we have right now, but built by Christ, built by Jesus himself. Because when the glory of God starts to dwell in each and every one of us, there will be numbers. God will add people into it. It's still the same thing. When we seek him, he will add all these things that we desire for the church. But let's start to build ourselves first. Let Christ build us. We cannot tell Jesus how to build us. We cannot tell the Holy Spirit how to build us. It is his work. Not our work, his own work. Unless he does that, nothing will happen. I'm not making it difficult, but I'm just helping us to lean on Jesus, to rely on him, not to do it ourselves. Because he is willing. But we also need to play our role. Our role is not even to say much, even just to come in his presence, just sit. Even just to say, Lord, you know already what I have to ask you. You tell me. You speak to me. Even that. Because you need to come from him first, then we're going to display it. If we receive nothing, we have nothing to offer. We should just get realistic and stop going around. We can do nothing without Jesus. We can do nothing without the help of the Holy Spirit. God loves us all the same. God has given each and every one of us gifts. Everyone is important in God's eyes. It is the body of Christ. Let Jesus build it. We should just stop building it. We saw in the Old Testament someone, the Bible said the hawk was going, wanted to fall. Someone went and tried to help the hawk. You know, sometimes we think we're doing good things for God. But if it's not what God tells us to do, then we're just wasting our time. Let's read 1 Thessalonians 4:2-3. For you know what instruction we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality. Now we've done with stealing, lying, and all that. Now about our body. This is the temple of God. We really need to be done with all those things that brings problem in our lives. We cannot mix God. The Bible says if someone has communion with Christ, they are one. So when we mix ourselves with those things out of marriage, we also become one with those persons. And each and everyone who is not saved carries stuff. Carries past. Other people did some crazy sacrifices. And when we become one with those things, then the Holy Spirit can do nothing. The Bible says it is God's will that we should be sanctified. So it's still our role to play. Ephesians 4:17-27. This is a bit long, but it gives us a clear picture. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of their ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their heart. Most of time, disobedience always has to deal with the hardening of our heart. When we refuse to receive the word of God, when we refuse to be obedient. Having lost sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. Greed is one of them as well. However, it's not a way of life. You learn when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desire, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. We spoke about it. We can skip it off. These are just things that sometimes hold us. Sometimes it's not even serious stuff. that we think is not serious, actually. It's just a simple lie, you know. It's going to go. And then we go quickly, God forgive me. And then tomorrow we go, same thing. All that is happening not because we are ignorant. I'm not judging anyone, because we are ignorant. But if we're going to start to renew our mind, then we will know what is the will of God. Then we will start to deal away with those things, because now we're getting to know what God wants us to do. Ezra has his Bible is closed. We're still going to walk in the darkness, and darkness is ignorance. But if we have the light of the Word, then we start to know what is the will of God. We are God's temple. As I'm closing now, let's read 1 Kings 18:36. Now, this is the story of Elijah. He had to confront prophets of Baal and all that. You know, a heart of a man needs a fire from the Holy Spirit. We need that baptism, that fire that consumes all flesh. That's why we are sacrificed. God said we need to be to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. That sacrifice is every day in our daily walk to get rid of stuff that is of the world and to put on Christ through His Word. The Bible says Elijah took a sacrifice, an offering that he was going to put on the altar. The Bible says he cut it into pieces. He put it on the altar. When he prayed, the fire came and consumed the flesh. That's what the Bible says. The Holy Spirit needs to consume the flesh in us. Two Corinthians 6:16-17. What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Therefore, come out of them and be separated. That is exactly holiness. That is exactly the word that we say, sanctification and holiness. It's all same word. We need to be separated. We need to be out of that world. We need to be out of the system. We need to be separated from idols, the things that we love more than God. The Bible said, come out of them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. God loves us. The Holy Spirit is present and is always present. We are the temple of living God. The Bible says those who come to Him, He will never reject them. The Bible says this is the time of favor. This is the time of grace. It's available. God loves us so much, and the Bible says He gave His only Son. The new birth in Christ, it's the biggest miracle ever. How amazing it is when you are born again, all your past is just vanished. And you're a new creation in God. And in that moment, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. We all have the Holy Spirit in us. We have been all justified and sanctified by the blood of Jesus. That's how big is that love. And I just pray that again, that we should learn each and every day. We should just humble ourselves. We should just come to His presence. God tells us these things not because he wants to punish us, because he loves us. Because he wants us to know who we are in him. You know, sometimes we read things, we don't pay attention, but how beautiful it is to be a citizen in the kingdom. The Bible says we are a part of God's family. We have his nature. How beautiful it is. The big God who created the universe shed his blood for us. The Bible says we have been made new. Everything that of past is gone. Behold, we are new creation. And the beautiful part, the Bible says, everything is of God. It is so amazing to serve this God. God loves us. And he will always forgive us because that's why Christ died for us. Jesus died for us. No condemnation. The Bible says we've passed that from condemnation to freedom. But we just need to have that relationship. That's where God is calling us, to go deep, just like Ezekiel. Come. The Bible says Ezekiel went deep and water, as he was going, water was going up. When we are filled by the Holy Spirit, then the river of living water starts to flow out of us. Then we start to bear fruit. Then the world starts to see those fruit and come. Everyone will like, will be happy and will come just to come and have that fruit. That's when we start to lead them to Christ. The world is indeed expecting the glory of the children of God to be revealed. We have him in us. We have that power in us. Just give Jesus glory. Just going to pray. Father God, we just want to say thank you for this amazing moment, Lord. Just knowing, Lord, that we are yours, Lord. Just knowing that all our debt, Lord, has been paid. Just knowing, Lord, that nothing can separate us from your love, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because in you dwells all the fullness of God. And we believe in you, Lord Jesus. And thank you for this amazing promise, Lord, that the Bible says when we believe in you, to them you've given the right to become children of God. Thank you, Lord, that we are your children, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you dwell in each and every one of us. And you're still willing, Holy Spirit, to show us the way, to lead us, Lord, to that deep place, Lord. So that we can bear fruit, Lord, fruit of righteousness, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your blood, for such amazing grace, Lord, that we cannot miss your kingdom, Lord, because we have you in us and you showing us the way. We give you praise and glory. As you working in our heart, Lord, as you revealing us, the king of the things of the kingdom, Lord, we just hope in our heart, Lord. We just hope in our heart, Holy Spirit. We just need more of you. Come and have your way in us. Not our way, but your way.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.